So this is the point I'm making. Listen, if you pray good prayers, you kill bad people. You don't have to try and kill them. What happens is just pray good prayers. Listen, this is not taken away from what I said earlier when we talk about asking God for judgment. All right? When you're asking God for judgment in the land, it's a blanket thing. Do you understand my point? Each of these things must be done. A time we pray in our prayers, a time will come in which we say, Lord, judge iniquity in the land. Guide thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride on prosperously and in majesty because of truth, and let thy right hand do awesome things. Again, notice, this is just the word of God we are declaring into the air. I'm speaking specifically about when we are praying about leadership of the country now. You can still pray that prayer. Very, very good. Very, very effective. But when you're talking about the leader of the country, he's not doing what is right. That is not God that is sold upon thy time. No. What God said is pray for him specifically. What are the things you pray about? You pray that God will give him wisdom. Instead of saying that the man doesn't know what to do, don't say that. Say, Lord, help him know what to do. Help him make decisions that will improve security, prosperity, freedom, justice, peace. And as you are declaring that, he has to if he doesn't want to die. If the whole church will do this, every man will learn. Because if the man does not do what is right, Michael will Michael him. Yeah, because if you don't do what God wants to do, you are in trouble. Please, I hope you have heard what I'm going to explain. You know, I'm talking about God-centered praying. You know, I know that's where I began from, all right? I'm still trying to get there specifically. I'm just going to emphasize the fact that a lot of times Christians pray, all right, prayers that are born of the flesh. Even when we're talking about praying for divine judgment, I emphasize that time, just utter some statements. Then you are not praying against individuals, you are praying against principles. Do you understand my point? That justice must be entrenched in the land. That is what. But when you are praying about issues about your own life, things you want to do, listen to me, don't focus your energy. Please, let me say this to you. Don't go to church. Listen, you know I told you that the days of being nice has passed, all right? Now let me tell you, don't go to a church on Sunday where all your prayers, most of your prayers are about enemies. You are wasting time. You are being led astray. I'm telling you, I'm not joking about it. This year, all my enemies will die. Listen, they don't have to die, amen? What the Bible says is what? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my living enemies. God knows when to kill the one he wants to kill. The important thing about being a believer is that no matter how powerful the enemy is, that they cannot stop what God wants to do in your life. The one who now deliberately says, I want to oppose God, he has just put himself at risk. What I will say to any such person is, listen, the work of God will not be stopped by you. And that is what's very important for Christians to understand. You cannot, I'm saying to you again, and that's where I began from, you don't turn opponents into prayer points in your battles in life. What you do is to elevate the name of the Lord. Remember, go and listen to our series, Seven Names of God. We talked about it. David said, how am I saved from my enemies? I call upon the name of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer. As I'm calling upon his name, so am I automatically saved from my enemies. Don't pray prayers that make you look as if you are afraid. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Our prayers must not be centered. Listen. Look at these people. They were being... Somebody said, you can't preach. And they went and said, Lord, you heard them say we can't preach. So now what you're going to do? You are going to make us bold enough to preach despite all their threatenings. And while we are doing it, let them see the result of the preaching. So my emphasis is the fact that, no, our prayers are not centered upon the opposition. Our prayers are centered upon God. And that's what we're trying to talk about. God-centered prayer. Now, remember at the beginning I said that, listen, I went through and I checked the things that the New Testament that people prayed, the contents of prayers that Christians were taught. Because remember, the Bible makes it clear that we have to be taught how to pray. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. In fact, you can find that in Luke chapter 11. All right, don't bother opening to it, but in verse 1. The Bible says that, and it came about while he was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And then that's when he began to tell them how to pray, saying, Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and all of that. All right? You will notice that even when the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray there, he did not say anything about the enemies. The closest, like I keep on saying, that he ever said about that is the matter of what? Temptation. That's what he always emphasized upon. Pray that you not fall, that you do not fall into temptation. There was a time he went also. Now, I'm talking about God-centered praying, all right? There was a time he went to pray. At the time, we were given his words. Most of the time he prayed, we are not told what he said. We have to glean it from other things, inferences, all right, from things we read here and there. But the one in which we were given his words was when he went to the garden to go and pray. And that one, you see exactly how he prayed. He told his disciples, he said, pray that you do not fall into temptation. He told them, could you not tarry with me for just 1 hour? At least pray with me, all right? As I'm praying, you also be praying. In fact, I'm thinking about it now. Maybe he was not even telling them to pray for himself, for him, but pray with me. That was what he said, all right? Pray with me. What is the prayer? As I'm praying inside, also pray the same thing, that you don't fall into temptation. And what was his own temptation? Please, let's get back to it. What was the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was that he understood the will of God and he was not going to do it. That was the temptation. The temptation is that we understand your will. Are we not going to do it? And why won't we do it? Because it's difficult. And listen, you must understand this. And he considered that thing a temptation. You are telling me that I should live this way I've been living my life in which everything is sweet and good and go this other way. From where when I do a small business, I make 10 million naira until I have to pray before food is complete. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, it is not easy. Stop pretending. It's not easy. If you decide it's easy, maybe you really have, that is, there's a mental problem you have that says that you should love punishment. Are you getting my point? You cannot love punishment. If you don't love punishment like that, you will understand that it's not easy, because for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not easy. But this is the point I'm making. Do you know he considered it a temptation? He told disciples, pray that you do not fall into temptation. Once my wife went somewhere for a meeting, she came back home and she came to ask me. Anytime my wife comes, I enter and say, my husband, where are you? I know there's an issue. As soon as she entered the house, she began to ask me questions. It was a women's meeting. The Lord is good. I want to see something that's very funny now. I'm always very suspicious when women just gather. I'm always very suspicious. What are they discussing? Anyway, that day, my wife wanted to go and pray, to attend a program. They brought a woman there to come and preach. And the woman was talking about how to handle crisis in the home. And she told all the lies possible against God. Under the circumstances. He said, as a woman, you have to be wise. That before, she and her husband used to have a joint account. And then when she wanted to put an end to it, she went and she was preaching. That she just went to her husband. I told her that in the office, they said they should change their accounts because of certain problems they are having with a particular bank. So she opened another account so they can be paying her money inside. That you have to be wise as a Christian woman. Thank you. My wife was looking like, is there a way to connect this thing into making sense? She was thoroughly confused. The woman went on and on and on and on and was establishing deception as a way of maintaining peace. That day my wife, but she just looked for me quickly, said, please, these were the things I heard today. Let me be sure I'm normal because I don't understand. She went somewhere another day, one woman was sharing also. I thought she was through. You would think that Sarah in the Bible was a sinner. Yes. Now you see that Sarah, the problem she had, the woman was analyzing the problems of Sarah, why you should not be like Sarah. I'm not kidding. My wife came home, I mean, she was confused again. What is going on here? And you know, and he was a bit of a senior person, so it was explained that, you know, Sarah was soft. And you should not be soft as a woman. You know, we just take the Bible and throw the pieces of it we don't like away. Whose daughters you are, the Bible was talking about. Sarah was set up as an example for us to follow. Yet a Christian woman, you know, I suddenly said, look, I told my wife, I don't know what I told my wife then, but I thought to myself, you said, look the history. Why do you think her husband divorced her? Well, did the husband divorce her or she divorced her husband? But the two of them divorced each other. In my mind, I said, this is the Genesis. If you enter into marriage as a Christian, telling the Bible that the Bible is wrong, Sarah is a bad girl. You know the good girl in the Bible, according to people like that? Jezebel. Oh, you read the Bible. You read the Bible. Jezebel. Jezebel was a tough babe, you know? Tough one. How do you see him? And I tell you how, why did he cry? Come on, clean up your face. You want that man's land? I get it for you. Sharp babe, I'm telling you. The Lord is good. Now, why did I digress? Now, remember what I was saying. The reason why some people go for that is that actually, all right, life can be challenging. I'm not really trying to make mockery of those things. I'm just trying to bring out an issue. It can be challenging. Those are the reasons why the Jesus Christ and his daughters go to the garden to go and pray. Are you getting my point? That's what I'm trying to bring out. They don't make excuses, because those people who are saying those things, if you look, they will find their reason. They've been under pressure. So how did they handle the pressure? They disobeyed the word of God directly. But they had a good reason, in quote now, to disobey him. I'm talking about God-centered praying. Listen to me. These are the things Christians get up at night to pray about. That is, God, I know your will. But the reality, physical reality, is that it cannot be done. And if you can, please spare me from this trouble. Nevertheless, your will must be done, not mine. No matter the excuse you have, once you start disobeying God, you have invited the devil to come and camp in your home. Somebody must camp with you. That's how it is. Read the scriptures. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And then my Father will love him. Then I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. He didn't say we'll come and live in his heart. No. He said we'll come and live in his house. The Holy Spirit in your heart is not what he was talking about. He was saying, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Then the Father will love him. Then I and my Father will come and make our abode with. The word he uses is what? With him. We can easily understand the opposite. If a man does not really love me, he will disobey my word. And then the devil will love him. And the devil and his angels will come and make their abode in his house. The question is, who do you want to live with? Listen, you know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? It said that in the days of his flesh, let's read this one. It's very important. The book of Hebrews, chapter 5, quickly. God-centered praying. So those women that were making those excuses, we understand their problem, but they did not understand the solution of God. The book of Hebrews chapter 5. Once, I read through the book of Hebrews and the Holy Spirit just sat on me that day and gave me a good understanding. If I wrote pages and pages of commentaries down for my own personal consumption. And one of the things I realized about the book of Hebrews, let me just quickly give you a small breakdown of it. That is the earlier part. If you see in chapter 1, well, many people who analyze this believe that it was written by Paul, alright? And I've read a lot of their commentaries and I have my reason to accept it, alright? In chapter 1, what Paul was trying to do was to introduce the word of God as being the power of God, what sustains everything. That's what he did in chapter 1. And they ended it by explaining that this word was given by the Son. Therefore, it is superior to the word that was given by angels. Do you understand what I'm saying? That one was one that was delivered to Moses by angels. He said the inferior one that was given to Moses, all right, had so much importance that if men disobeyed it, they died for it. He said, therefore, those of us who have this word, we should fear, lest, you know, following the same example of disobedience, we let the word slip away from us. That is, this word is very important. And this word, when it enters into your heart, it is a way by which you enter into God's rest. He went into chapter 3 to explain that. All right? That this word is alive. Chapter 4 now. And it's active. Anything God says, the word will bring it to pass by itself. The word will work until that thing comes to pass. He said, however, sometimes it does not work because it is not mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. He said, why do men not obey it? Because sometimes life can have pressures. That's chapter 4, towards the end of chapter 4. Life can have pressure. It may be difficult. He said, for that reason, we have a high priest who also went through the same pressures of life. That's towards chapter 4. He said, we have that same high priest. For that reason, he said, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help on the time of need. What is that time of need? It is a time of temptation to disobey. I'll give you a quick summary of Hebrews 1 to Hebrews 4. That the word must not be disobeyed. But the pressures of life can come that you want to disobey the word. He said, look, listen. The person who is the author and finisher of faith, what happened to him? He obeyed the word even though he went through your temptations. So he understands how difficult things can be. He said, so what do you do? When you are being tempted to disobey the word, draw near to the throne of grace. He now explained in chapter 5 how the Lord did it. He talked about this high priest who is going to help you. Now you now see where we are going in chapter 7, verse 7. So this is our high priest that will help you. This is what happened to him. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cryings and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his fear. Now, if you knew, New American Standard says he was heard because of his piety. But the literal Greek actually says he was, and that many translations use that. King James actually uses that. He said he was heard because he feared. I have analyzed it, thought about it, and I think a lot of people find it difficult to conceive that Jesus should be afraid of anything. So that's why we're talking about his piety. No, they don't understand there was something he was morbidly, you know, seriously afraid of. And what was that thing? To disobey the will of God. Jesus understood it, that it must not happen. We're not talking about fear as if, hey, let them not get me. No, that this is something I must never do. I will know the will of God, and I will not do it. So that was why, listen, I've been saying this again and again. God did not say Christians should just be bold by themselves. He said, come and pray. That's all. I don't know what I heard I said. I will possess you with boldness. So when the people were threatened, they didn't say, hey, James, did you hear what happened? They said, we shouldn't preach. We will not go preach. Watch me. And they go preach. Do you understand my point? No, that one, when they slap you, you run. They leave me, you will run. It wasn't new. That was not the first time. It happened to Peter. The Lord said to him, he said, look, all of you are going to run away. Nobody's going to be with me. Only the Lord, my Father, will be with me all the time. Peter said, as for Thomas, I know he will not stay with you. He's a doubting man. Judas, of course, guaranteed. You have gone to look for money. He won't stay with you. John is a small boy. He's a small boy. As for my friends, Andrew, my brother Andrew, all those people, since we're young, the boy they fear. All the other people, they can go their way. But me. I will never run away from you. Jesus looked at him. And a strong man, Peter. Before the cock crows, is it twice? You will have denied me three times. You know, cock, they can crow fast. That's not my point. Before they have the chance to do it two times, you will have denied me three times. Peter said, me. Obviously, you don't know me. I thought you knew everybody. The pressure of life was so strong that Peter did not even know he had denied him. He didn't know he had denied until he heard the second crow. Cuckoo! What? That's what I did. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So next time they said, you must not preach in this name. He said, James, let's go and pray. Do you know what I'm saying? In the matter, you had learned it. So he said, Lord, you heard they are threatening. You heard they are threatening. Before we refuse to preach in the name, please. What you will do is fill us with what? Boldness. That's why I keep on saying, God doesn't want you to be strong in yourself. He said, just come and pray. That's all. And the Lord Jesus himself, when he was going to face the toughest of temptations, he didn't just say, from the foundation of the world, I knew I was going to die for all of you. What do they want to do? Beat somebody. Now, beat him we'll never see before. Don't worry. No, it wasn't like that. When the time came for him to be offered up, the strength not to draw back, because there's something about walking with God. Any point you draw back, you've lost everything. You have to just let the thing fill up. Everything must be completed. You must enter into that promised land. So the man said, listen, this is what we're going to do. Dear Lord, do me a favor. The Lord said, what's the favor? Hold these people back small. Told the boys, let's go and pray. He went in there and he prayed. And like I said this before, I'm saying it again. He went in, first of all, he prayed. As he was coming out, as he was about to leave the garden, he knew what he was going to face next. His heart shook a bit. He said, boys, I'm coming. He went back and prayed. When he finished, he came out. As he was about to leave the garden, knowing what he was going to face, there was some instability. He went back and he prayed. By the time he was through with praying, he told the boys, come, let us go. I keep on telling the people, he said, they beat him. The day we watched the Passion of the Christ in my home, I told my wife and Joy, I said, listen, he wasn't feeling the pain. He said, how can you say that? I said, you want to see beating? Go into the garden. That was when he bled without anybody touching him. He bled, literally, blood was dropping from his brows and nobody touched him. If you've learned some medicine or psychology, you will know that when it comes to pain, the most important part of pain is the mental aspect, not the physical aspect. The most potent painkillers, they work here. They don't work where the pain is. They work in your perception of pain. Yet Jesus perceived so much pain in the garden, nobody touched him. By the time he came out, he was already numb to physical pain. All the beating they were beating, they were suffering more than him. Why? Because in the garden was where the fight was. Are you getting my point? That was what the issue. That was where the issue was. And he said, listen, why did he fear? What was the fear? The fear is that we will not go through with the plan of God. The fear was that we will not obey God till the end. And how did he handle it? He went, the Bible says, he offered prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears. Why? So that I will not disobey the word of God. So Christians are going to tough places. They are worrying about their enemies. The real enemy. The real enemy is disobedience to the word of God. So what should we pray about? When you wake up at night, back to the story of those two women I was telling you about. Listen, as a woman, you're an adult. The nurse says, submit thyself unto another adult who sometimes behaves like an idiot. Just say, me, I'm very humble by birth. I don't want to marry you. If your humility is by birth, you won't help me. I want the person whose humility is from prayer. Do you understand my point? Yes. So whether you are humble by birth or tough by birth is your personal problem. What I want is a woman who will kneel down and say, Lord, as it is written, let it be done unto me. Let me obey this word as it is right here in the scriptures. I told you before, if you pray the right prayers, God knows how to rearrange the people in authority. He knows how to rearrange the people in authority when you pray the right prayers. God will give your husband the kind of wisdom you did not know human beings could have. Why? Because he realizes that you have to submit to this guy. He cannot remain a nigger like this if you are going to be submissive to him. But he won't do that until he sees that truly you are willing to be submissive. God sent out prayer. What is it? God, I must not disobey you. That's what we are talking about. Not all my enemies that said I will not prosper. God said, leave those people. Like I said last time, they are not, your prosperity is not in their hands. No matter how highly placed the commissioner for environment in Enugu State is, he cannot stop the messenger who works for Federal Ministry of Internal Revenue, or Federal Board, what do they call it now? FIRS. He can't stop the man from being paid just because he's a commissioner. Why? Your parastatal and the arm of government you are dealing with is different from his own. In the same manner, those people, the so-called enemies, they don't control your destiny, they don't control your prosperity, they don't control your promotion. They're not worth a bit of prayer. What they should be concerned about is, Lord, this is your will, I must not disobey it. Now, having read the scriptures, I think it's a good prayer. If it takes you an hour, pray it. Pray it until you do the will of God without flinching. If you still think you are being bold, I don't know whether I get my point. Listen, let me say something. If you say faith is foolish, you know, I've been saying it many times. Faith is only foolish to the person observing from outside. The person walking by faith does not think he's foolish. He thinks he's very sensible. I don't know what I heard I said. Abraham didn't think it was foolish to sacrifice his son. He thought obeying God was reasonable. I'm making an issue here. You have not prayed enough if you are still doubting and fearing. If you are still afraid that maybe you do the will of God or you will not do it, you have not prayed enough. When the prayer has been said and it is full, obedience to God is going to be spontaneous with you. I don't know what I get. What am I saying? Every time there is this, what do we do? Yeah, are you sure? Go and pray. Leave your enemies. They can't do anything. Anytime doubt is, you know, doubt is coming up. Yeah, what do we do now? Yeah, I'm not very sure. Listen, it is what? Time to pray. That is what prayer is about. I went through the prayer points of Paul. I'll finish it next time. All the time he will pray for people, the one we recite out here all the time. I am praying for you that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, and bear fruit in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God. That you'll be strengthened by his glorious might, that you will attain all steadfastness. Not that you overcome your enemies. Did you notice that? Not because he wants your enemies to overcome you, because if you do all of these things, he knows that you have overcome already. You are an overcomer. Listen, what direction is your life going? You are not sure. That is a time to what? Pray. Let me read this one. And I'll close with it. I'll develop this, some of these things for the next time. Psalm 119, verse 144. I like the way it said in the King James or New King James. It said, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. That's the prayer point too. When Paul was going to pray that prayer again, the book of Ephesians, just like the one in Colossians chapter 1 that we quote all the time, how did he pray in Ephesians chapter 1? Go there also. Let's read that one. Then with that, we use that one to pray again. And then we close. The Lord is good. Quickly, we are closing now. The same thing as we find in the book of Psalms that David was writing. Paul wrote the same thing to the Ephesians. Chapter 1. From verse 15, he said, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. He said, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. What do I pray for you? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your heart or the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. See the word understanding there. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let me just stop there. Notice the emphasis. The emphasis always was on understanding, on knowing God, in walking in a manner pleasing to him. And I emphasize from reading that Hebrews chapter, well, I gave a summary of chapter 1 to chapter 4, and then we read that the chapter 5, that verse. Okay? Chapter 4, we read verse 16, Hebrews chapter 4, that at the time of need, please, I'm emphasizing it, the time of need he was talking about there was not the time that you're broke. The time of need he was talking about is not the time when, you need a car. The time that you have need of a material thing. You need an open door. No. The time of need, it was saying in Hebrews chapter 4, is a time when temptations of life, when they are about to make you, or they are pressing you to disobey the known word of God. When God says, follow me into the promised land, and you say, there are giants in there. When it is like, let me face the giants. No, I cannot face the giants because I'm like a grasshopper. When you are going to turn back and break the covenant of God, that is the time of need. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? That is the time of need. He said, at that point, draw near to the throne of grace. Very important. My brethren, forget enemies. They can't do anything to the young woman, the child of God, all right, who is obeying the word of God. They are only strong when your disobedience is strong. Did you hear what I said? So what's our prayer point? Give me understanding, I shall live. Help me, strengthen me that I will not disobey your word. Let's just rise to our feet quickly and say that prayer point. Just 1 minute. Man, like I said, we are here, we are learning to pray. We are learning. What we have done today is to remove some prayer points that waste time. And we are doing a God-centered prayer. And that's a prayer point. They say, Lord, it's simple. Say, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Say, give me understanding and I shall live. It's very simple. Just use your own words. Just take a minute quickly because sometimes when you preach like this, the Holy Spirit starts stirring things up in people's hearts, different people. Take that thing, and there's an area where you're having difficulty. Either you're not convinced of what is right to do, or you know what is right to do, but it's difficult to do. What do you do? That is the time you pray and say, Lord, help me, strengthen me. Use the words of Jesus Christ. Lord, if it was possible, I would have said this cup should pass me over. But Lord, not my will, let yours be done. Concerning this, my job, let your will be done. This is not just a blanket, let your will be done. Jesus knew the will. And that's what they are doing also. Say, Lord, in this area, I know what to do. Let me do it. Help me do it. Fill me with boldness. That is what I call God-centered praying. Say, Lord, fill me with boldness. That I will speak your word with boldness. That you will do your work as I obey your truth. He said to Jeremiah, he said, don't say I'm a youth. Say, Lord, I stop from today. I dedicate my mouth so that I will not speak that which incapacitates me. Say, but everywhere I said you tell you to go, you will go. And everything I tell you to say, you will say. Say, Lord, therefore, let your will be done. Everywhere you tell me to go, I will go. And everything you tell me to do, I will do. Now, that's a dedication. You are dedicating yourself. You will pray this prayer until boldness enters into your system and you can go boldly and do that which God has called you to do. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Let's thank him. Let us thank him. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, can I just beg for 4 more minutes? There's a testimony I want us to hear. One of our sisters here.